Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Good to be with you this day. We've got great conversations ahead of us. We've got some encouragement for dads today. We're going to talk about the Good Dad Project. What is it? We're going to talk with the founder, Larry Hagner, here in just a little bit. And we're also going to continue our series on Lutheran camps and retreat centers. We're going to talk with our friends from Camp Okoboji in Iowa and Camp Concordia in Michigan. Hope you can join us for that in the second half of the program. Good conversation ahead. All supporting faithful family life. Hope you can stick around for all of it here on Worldwide KFUO, celebrating 90 years of broadcast ministry, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. It is it's fun to get to be a part of the celebration. And this week, you can join in the fun. Check out the pictures on Facebook at facebook.com/KFUO radio. You can see some neat pictures from the history of Worldwide KFUO, some from many years ago and some from recent history as well. And speaking of history, you can also enjoy some of the music from the historical archives of the KFUO radio choir. Join Larry or Gary Duncan during the 1 o'clock hour, 1 to 2 central here on Worldwide KFUO, and you'll hear some selections from the KFUO radio choir. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. I encourage you to find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin. Go to our website, KFUO.org, and look for Concordia University, Wisconsin in the sponsor section. You can find them. They're the CUW logo there in the sponsor section. Go check it out. Find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, the good work that they are doing. Speaking of good work, joining me in studio today, Larry Hagner. He's the founder of the Good Dad Project. Larry, welcome to Faith and Family.
Andy, thanks for having me, man. I'm excited to be here. Thank you.
It's just talking before the program, it's fun to share stories as dads and comparing stories and talking about the joys of being a dad and some of the challenges that that dads face. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your family.
Sure. So I am I'm married to a wonderful woman. Her name is Jessica. She is the love of my life. She has probably more patience and tolerance than anyone I know. She's fantastic. We have three boys. We have an 8-year-old, Ethan, a 6-year-old, Mason, a 1-year-old, Lawson, and we just found out we have one on the way. So
I know I was joking.
Thank you. Thank you. I was joking with you before the show, but unfortunately, we're going to have to let one of our kids go because, you know, four is a lot. No, I'm kidding, of course.
Not enough room.
That's right.
How did they take the news?
You know, it was funny. So we just we announced it this past weekend at my 1-year-old's birthday party.
And stole his thunder.
I know, right? Right. So it was funny, though. We kind of did this big spiel in front of our families. My family was there. My wife's family was there. And, you know, the boys just looked up at us, the 6-year-old, and they're like, wait, what? Mom's pregnant? And they're like, well, can we have more cake? Like
that was, serious stuff. Yeah. Calls for cake.
That's right. But they're demanding a sister. So, you know, and I think deep down my wife is too. I mean, we have so much testosterone in the house. It's not even funny. So,
oh goodness, bless your wife and
that's right.
Household of boys and men. And I'm sure your 8-year-old was thinking, again, another baby. and probably yeah. Grateful to have another sibling to play with and probably to tease.
That's right, you know, and, you know, for the immediate gratification, it meant more cake, you know, which was obviously more important at the time we announced it.
More birthdays means more birthday cake,
that's
right?
That's right, that's right.
Tell us about life in the Hagner household. What is day-to-day life like for you as a dad and for the family?
Sure, sure. So it's extremely enjoyable, and the reason it's enjoyable is we choose that it's enjoyable. And that's one of the things that, you know, I teach during, you know, for the Good Dad Project, but it's very enjoyable. I mean, I'm not going to say we don't have our tough times.
Sure.
And we don't have our challenging times, because we certainly do. I mean, you know, three kids and one on the way. I mean, that definitely presents like some mad chaos at times, no doubt about it. But we choose to, you know, we choose on purpose to look at the glass half full, you know, especially when life throws us some curveballs.
And curveballs certainly do come. There are challenges that come our way every day.
Right.
Difficulties. But we've been placed in families for a reason. And we live in these families and this structure, this God-given structure. And it's a good gift to have. And that's how that's what we've been given to get through these challenges together, is to work together as a family.
That's right. That's right.
Well, tell us about the Good Dad Project. I think I came across it on Facebook, I don't know, maybe a little over a year ago. I'm not sure how long ago I came across it. And I thought, oh, this sounds interesting. Mm-hmm. It was probably about the time that I came on here as host of Faith and Family and said, oh, this looks interesting. And I've been following along. Tell us, how did it all get started for you?
So, I mean, if I look back, I mean, if I could take maybe just 2 minutes.
Sure.
Okay, 2 minutes.
We got plenty of time.
I'll get through this fast. So I really think this whole thing was a culmination of events. I mean, it really started with my childhood. I pretty much grew up with a fatherless environment, but when I did have a father figure around, it actually was not a positive one. Mm-hmm. So, when I was, my mom and biological father got married when I was... they got married and then they had me when they were about 5 years into the marriage. The marriage unfortunately went downhill. It ended pretty bad. They got divorced, and from what I understand, it ended so bad that I was raised by my mom exclusively until I was about five. So I had no idea of a father. In fact, at that point, I mean, I can still remember to this day. My thoughts of a father before the age of five was, well, the moms just go out and find a dad. You know, I had no relationship with my biological father. So I was like, oh, well, mom just hasn't found a dad yet. No big deal. So she married a man when I was five. It was great at first. Unfortunately, he was just, he drank a lot. It was a very toxic relationship. They got divorced when I was 10. I had a father figure for a while. It was a negative experience. And then something happened when I was 12, which was interesting. I ran into my biological father, who I had not known for obviously 12 years. We had a brief relationship for a few months, and we kind of grew apart, and we cut part ways. So by the time I was 12, I had, lost my biological father, lost my stepdad, and then we, parted ways with my real father again. So it was devastating. Mm. So I really didn't have that father figure, and then my mom went through several relationships from the time I was 12 to the time I was 18, and none of them were, without getting into detail, none of them really all that positive. So, growing up, I had this major phobia of getting married. I probably had this major phobia of commitment, and I was even more terrified to be a dad. And something interesting happened. Two things happened when I was 30. Number one, I had my first son, who is 8 now, going on 9, and I ran into my biological father again. Just a complete fluke. I was in Starbucks in West County, and he came walking through the door. And without getting into too much of the detail, we ended up talking. I'm happy to say that this story has a great ending. We've had a great relationship for 9 years. It obviously isn't your typical dad-son relationship. It's more of a friendship. Mm-hmm. I don't call him dad. I just don't know if that would be suitable for our relationship. But we do have a good relationship. We have a friendship. I have two half-brothers that I'm really close to. He's married to an amazing woman. He's been married to her for, I think, 35 years, and she is basically my stepmom. And my kids know them as grandma and grandpa and don't know any different. So it does have a happy ending. But I can tell you, it definitely affected me big time growing up, and it affected me a lot, especially when I became a father. I had a huge wake-up call when I was, 8 years ago. I was terrified. I mean, and when I say terrified, I'm talking like, death and destruction terrified. I mean, I was terrified to be a father because I wanted so badly to succeed at it, and I was so incredibly fearful of failing at it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the thing is I had no blueprint. I had no, really no roadmap. So I dove into, I've always been kind of obsessed with self-improvement. I think when you grow up with a childhood like mine, you either swing to one side of the pendulum or the other. You either try everything in your power to be the best version of yourself, or you fall into those same habits that you grew up with. And I definitely forced myself to be the best version of myself. So if there was a motivational book, if there was a Tony Robbins book, if there was a book on mm-hmm. faith and family, I was reading it. I mean, I literally immersed myself in it, and I have been for 8 years. So, the Good Dad Project really kind of came as a byproduct. I mean, it just started as a small Facebook page. I just wanted something to selfishly really just kind of inspire myself. I wanted to search for something inspirational every single day to remind myself to keep on task and to be a father with purpose. And about 9 months into it, I started a website. I wrote a book. The book is entitled The Top 5 Mistakes Dads Makes and How to Avoid Them. Now I'm actually almost done with my second book. It's called The Dad's Edge, and that'll be coming soon. The Dad's Edge is 10 strategies to being a better dad. Having a better relationship with your family, having a better relationship with your kids. And ultimately, it's not a book about parenting. And it's all about really just getting out of your own way and just being the best version of yourself and giving you strategies to do it. And that's pretty much the Good Dad Project in a nutshell.
So Facebook, social media is one of the ways that that people obviously find out about a Good Dad Project and get connected with it and find these resources that you're pulling together, the books that you've written, and to get connected with these resources so that they can be the best dads that they can
with
what they've been given.
I think that's so powerful, and here's why. So when I started really researching, how do I be a good father? I mean, literally, I would just go on Google and I would, you know, how do I be a better dad? All these things came up from others. You know, there are so many mom resources out there. I mean, women are fantastic at communication. They're fantastic at connection. And there are so many blogs and resources and groups. And I couldn't find hardly anything for dads. So I was like, well, if I really want something for dads, why don't I just create it? So I did. And it's now turned into, like I said, you know, the book. And I teach workshops at churches. I have a workshop for moms called the Moms with Purpose Workshop. And I have one for dads called the Dads with Purpose Workshop. And each workshop is all about five strategies to improve relationship with yourself, with your kids, and your spouse.
When you first became a dad, you said 8 years ago, you were just wrecked with fear, terror about fear of failing as a father. How did you think you would fail? What do you think? What was in your mind? What was the example of failing? What was the picture of failing as a father? Because I'm guessing that there are probably many men who have that picture in their minds or something similar.
Our deepest fear as humans, no doubt about it, and I've researched this, our deepest fears are you are not good enough. You are not enough. And I think if you say that statement to someone, it hits a chord so deep. You know, if you think about even failing financially, you know, in something financial, you can't pay a bill or you go bankrupt. Mm-hmm. It all boils down to that fear of, well, you weren't good enough. You didn't do something enough. Failing to me was, you know, number one, not instilling some positive things in my kids, you know, like manners, character, integrity. But also failing as a father was not enjoying it. I mean, I think so, you know, if I talk to dads who have been dads for, you know, years, 20 years, 30 years, one of the most common things I hear, because I'm always so curious, you know, especially when I speak to someone who's been a dad for a lot longer than I, what was something you would have done different? You know, is there anything you would have done different? And the answers are always, there's one answer I hear in particular, and that's, I wish I would have let myself enjoy it more. So failing to me as a father is, you know, not enjoying the journey. I mean, that could probably be the biggest failure. I think when you're not enjoying it, there's other side effects and byproducts that come along with that. You know, it creates tension, animosity, and not a good experience for the kids either.
So this fear of not enjoying fatherhood, not enjoying being a dad, whether it's fear of, you know, some might see that as, I'm afraid I'm going to be too strict and I'm not going to enjoy my relationship with my kids. They're going to hate me because I'm the enforcer. I'm the dad. I'm always the one who has to enforce the rules. Whereas others might see it the other way. I'm the dad. I'm the fun one.
Right.
But just this fear of failing in whatever way it might be. And you're right, going out there looking for resources for dads, it's limited.
Right.
There are resources out there, and that's what we're trying to do on this program, is provide more resources and get people connected, especially get dads connected to resources like this. What were, in your mind at that time, what was the picture of a good dad or a dad? Because you had mentioned earlier on, you didn't really have a clear picture of what a dad was because of your own experience.
Right.
You thought that moms just went out and found a dad for their kids.
Sure.
And so in your mind at the time that your first child was born, what was the picture of a good dad? What were you thinking this picture is that I can't live up to?
Yeah, that's a great question. And you know, the answer to that is, I think as dads, you know, as much as we don't like to stop and ask for directions, right? I mean, my wife will attest to that. And I think a lot of wives would.
But, GPS has really helped out with that a lot.
It's fantastic.
It's good for us men.
But, I think, You know, when I thought about the picture of being a good dad, is I craved so badly a roadmap. I craved so badly someone to sit down with me and say, just keep it simple. Concentrate on these 3 to 5 things every day. And if someone could do that, you know, I thought that that would make my journey, you know, that much more pleasurable. So, you know, my mind of being a good father was, you know, respect for my kids, but also respecting them. But just creating a very positive yet disciplinary, you mm-hmm. know, because kids do thrive on discipline. But just being a foundation and a rock and a positive experience for my kids, to me, that was a good dad. And, you know, 30 years from now, or whenever it is, when my kids have their own, you know, I want them to look back on their childhood and say, mm-hmm. that was good. And to me, that is success as a father.
Here's what I gained from my dad. This was good. This is what I want to pass on to my yeah. kids. I might do some of these things differently, but these are the right. good things that I want to pass on to my kids. Certainly, right. I can identify with that as well.
Sure.
Wanting kids, you mentioned discipline. Dads do, yes, have to have mm-hmm. have to be a part of the discipline plan. What about the relationship between you know, the mom and dad?
Yeah.
How important is that in being a good dad?
It is so incredibly critical. And that's one of the things that I teach for the Dads with Purpose workshop. So I teach 5 strategies to basically empowering yourself as a father. And one of those things is the connection with your spouse. And I can tell you what, I mean, you know, you have one child, I know, because we spoke before the show, and after you have 3 and then 4, that connection becomes a challenge. It really does. I mean, you get so busy with sports and homework and work and things around the house, and it is very easy, so easy to lose that connection. And if you lose that connection, it can just have, you know, this chain reaction of events, and before you know it, 3 to 5, 7 years go by, and you
6 to 7, 10 kids later.
Right, exactly, the Brady Bunch, exactly. You know, and you don't even know the person that's sitting across mm-hmm. from you at the dinner table anymore. One of the things that my wife and I really thrive on is communication, and that sounds so, you know, communicate, but actually, you know, okay, we're going to carve out these 10 minutes every day. And one of the things that we do, we call it pillow talk. And that's, you know, it's so hard to have a conversation with 3 boys in the same room. Says, mommy, daddy.
It's hard to have a conversation with 1 boy.
Right. Yeah. So you understand. But when the kids go to bed, you know, we turn off the electronics, turn off the TV, we face each other, and we give each other 10 minutes. Now, here's what I can tell you what's awesome about that 10 minutes. It's never 10 minutes. It turns into 20 minutes. It turns into 30 minutes. And I can tell you, it fills us both up. And it's just so refreshing. But you have to do that. You have to be disciplined to do that. And that's the biggest difference.
And that, for us, still, it's our conversation over dinner, but that does get interrupted from time
Absolutely.
To time. And
right.
I'm sure as the family grows and as our son learns to talk more,
oh, yeah.
that we're going to have to find another time in
yeah.
our day to, much like you said, pillow talk, that time when once the kids have gone to bed.
Right.
Isn't as interrupted as much is,
right.
is certainly a valuable time. Well, having that communication between mom and dad is certainly important, and so that they can be unified on one, that they can have a healthy relationship with one another, because eventually those kids are going to grow up and, good Lord willing, they're going to move out.
Right. Maybe, hopefully.
That they're going to move on to their own lives and their families as well in the future. And so then you're going to be sitting there, as so many find out in our culture, especially in our child-centric culture that has developed years later than this couple who, if their marriage has survived that long, find themselves sitting in an empty nest and they don't know each other, and then trying to rebuild that connection. Well, at that point in time, it's not that it's impossible to rebuild that connection, but it sure is better if you maintain that connection as husband and wife
right.
through all those child-rearing years.
It is, and it also sets the tone for a very positive example mm-hmm. for the kids. Now, I'm not saying, you know, any relationship is perfect. And my wife and I mean, we definitely have our challenges, as every relationship does, but that's one of the beauties of having a relationship. But what it does is, if the kids can be a witness to that good connection between mm-hmm. a mom and a dad, because to be honest, when I grew up, I didn't really see that. And it affected me a lot. You know, I had a lot of fear of commitment issues and things like that. But if you can be that example for the kids, chances are they're probably going to move on to have mm-hmm. more success. They're going to have a better chance of having successful relationships themselves.
How important is it to you that your boys see see you and your wife forgive each other, you know, to practice forgiveness at home, or to see how you care for your wife, that how you treat your wife at home? How important is it for you that your boys see that?
It's extremely important. I mean, and I think that definitely hits my soul a lot, because growing up, like I said, I really didn't have a good father figure, but I did have an amazing grandfather. And my grandpa was just as affectionate with my grandma, you know, until the day he passed away at 73. I mean, he would hug her, kiss her, tell her, I always told her she was beautiful. And to me, I look back on that, and now that is a very powerful blueprint for me, mm-hmm. because I, you know, for me, I was like, well, I want to replicate that, you know, so, but that takes effort, you know? And so I think if our boys and kids can see that, it's going to be more powerful and impactful for them.
Absolutely. If they, it made an impact on you, obviously, to see your grandfather and your grandmother in that loving relationship, and how he treated her with respect and,
right.
and love, and I all the more for your boys as well. We've got just a little bit of time left. I want to make sure,
sure.
that our listeners know about some of the things that the Good Dad Project has to offer. You mentioned your books earlier that can be helpful for dads. What about for moms? How can moms benefit from the Good Dad Project?
So the very first speaking event I ever did was for 120 moms at Morningstar Church. And I'll tell you what, for my first speaking event, you know, looking out in the audience and seeing 120 females, and they all want to know what this is all about. What I've noticed, and I've done several now for mom groups, what I've noticed, I've really catered to helping them understand their man. And because a lot of women, like, I don't understand why he does this, you know? So what I do is during the workshop is I give them a glimpse of the why behind it. Because a lot of times us guys, we're bad at communication. So we act out in a certain way, but we don't really say why. But it's really enlightening for the women. So what I try to do for the women is just help them understand, I guess, some of the whys, you know? Like, for instance, if your husband comes home really, really quiet and his head's down, it's not because he doesn't love you. And it's not because he doesn't want to talk about his day. It's because this probably happened and he doesn't want to talk about his day because he doesn't want to burden you, because he loves you. But a lot of women take, you know, that that situation. They're like, well, he doesn't want to connect with me. He doesn't want to communicate with me. So, you know, that's just one of, mm-hmm. really keep it simple. I teach 5 strategies to women. And, but it's really just understanding your man a little bit better. And understanding what's going on in our head, because we don't talk about it very much.
What are some of the benefits, some of the responses you've gotten from, that you've received from participants in the workshops, or from the Good Dad Project website and Facebook page?
It's been unbelievably fulfilling. You know, when I get an email saying, hey, I attended your workshop at this church, you know, and I was apprehensive to go, but I've implemented, you know, some of the strategies, and it's changed my relationship with my wife, and it's changed my relationship with my kids. And most importantly, I'm enjoying what I'm doing. And I now have an understanding of what was going on in my head and why I feel the way I do and what I can do to be better. So that has been one of the most powerful things for me. The most fulfilling thing that I do, obviously, it's the books and I, you know, the website, but it's really doing these speaking events. It's really doing the, mm-hmm. the Dads with Purpose workshop every time I do it, not only do these men get to learn, but I get to learn from these men, which, you know, mm-hmm. half the workshop is all interactive. So I get to hear so many different points of view. So that has been one of the most fulfilling things when it comes to the website, the feedback, and
sure.
the workshops.
Well, point us to that website. We'll put a link to it as well with the archive of today's
yeah.
program. The website, gooddadproject.com, is that right?
That's correct, yes.
Very good. We'll post a link with that with our archive of today's program, so listeners can go to it. It'll be on our website later on today. I think we linked it on our Facebook page as well today. We linked to the Facebook page there, so you can go check it out, see what Larry and others are doing at the Good Dad Project. Larry, thanks so much for being our guest today on Faith and Family. It's been a lot of fun. fun hearing your story. It's been a joy and a delight for me, and nice to have that encouragement as a fellow father. Thanks for spending some time with us today on Faith and Family.
Thank you so much for having me. I was just super ecstatic to be here, so I appreciate you having me.
Keep up the good work. We'll keep up the conversation. Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to talk with more of our friends from Lutheran camps and retreat centers around the country. We're going to head up to Camp Okoboji in Milford, Iowa, and Camp Concordia in Gowan, Michigan. Hope you can join us for those conversations coming up right here next on Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of Inspiration in Action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
I often think about Bill Clinton because I think of his safe, legal, and rare statement about abortion every time I read another story of back alley-style legal abortion mills. Here's two more. In Virginia Beach, while state inspectors were conducting an unannounced inspection, and in the room with the abortionist, he didn't even wash his hands before doing an abortion. Within minutes, he violated several other sterile guidelines. In New York, the mill is so filthy and unprofessional, many patients posted reviews. One who's a nurse noted many safety violations that mean life or death for a woman in trouble. She pointed out filth, unprofessionalism, and said the mill preys off low-income women. These stories aren't rare. They've become regular examples of the abortion industry.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Worldwide KFUO salutes our day sponsors on this November 20th, 2014. Today's day sponsors are Stacy, Charlotte, Sarah, and Robert Johnson. Today's day sponsors have made a contribution to Worldwide KFUO in honor of their parents, Delmar and Blanche Johnson, as they celebrate their 50th wedding anniversary. Once again, we say thank you to Stacy, Charlotte, Sarah, and Robert Johnson of Little Rock, Arkansas, today's Worldwide KFUO day sponsors.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on behalf of Concordia Plan Services, Lutheran Church Extension Fund, the LCMS Foundation, Lutheran Housing Support Corporation, Concordia University System, and Corporate Synod, daily reaches out to our members and partners, working together to support our local, global, and international ministries, church workers, and LCMS initiatives at large to carry the mission forward and to serve each other in love. Opportunities to serve, lcms.org/jobsboard.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
It was a moment that changed my life.
It was still at the heart of the storm when we arrived in a convoy of Humvees.
These people had been there for hours, all scared and on the verge of hypothermia.
We dug them out, got them home safely.
That's what we train for, moments like this.
In the Guard, you serve your community as well as your country. Go to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Missouri National Guard, aired by the Missouri Broadcasters Association and this station.
Cross Defense, the apologetic show for inquiring minds of all ages. Cross Defense airs Mondays from 2 to 3 p.m. on air, online, on demand, right here on Worldwide KFUO.
Let World Worldwide KFUO help you get the word out about your next church, school, or organization event. By including your event in the KFUO datebook, it will be announced on the air throughout the day. Send your event information via email to jennyw@kfuo.org. That's J-E-N-N-Y-W at kfuo.org. Or call 314-996-1515. Be sure to include date, time, location, and contact information. The KFUO datebook is a public service of listener-supported Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It's a good day here at Worldwide KFUO, celebrating 90 years of proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. It was good to get to talk with Larry over at the Good Dad Project. It is time to continue our series on Lutheran camps and retreats. I've had a lot of fun taking me back to my days at Camp Luther Haven and some other camps as well, visiting around some of the other NLOMA camps, as we might call them, National Lutheran Outdoors Ministry Association, and some of the camps involved with that. And it's really fun to get to talk with these camps each day, especially as it's so cold right now. It's so chilly here in the Midwest. Thinking about summer, that kind of warms me up a little bit. Well, let's talk about all the seasons. Joining me by phone this morning, Doug Caden. He's the executive director at Camp Okoboji in Milford, Iowa. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning. How are you this morning, Andy?
I'm doing well. How are you and all the fine folks at Camp Okoboji in Milford, Iowa?
We are warm and cozy indoors today.
Not many activities outside today, huh?
Not today, no. The sun is shining, but it's still nicer inside today.
Very good, very good. Also joining us today, Dr. Craig Oldenburg, director of Camp Concordia in Gowan, Michigan. Good morning, Craig.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for being our guest today.
You're welcome.
How are things going at Camp Concordia up in Michigan?
Right now, we are also getting a bunch of snow, and so we've got some one plowed road through the middle and a bunch of beautiful little cabins with white snow on top and a lake that's starting to freeze over. So that's what it looks like here.
Very good. Very good. Well, where is it Gowan? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, a lot of people want to say Gowan, so we like to say, yeah, get going to Gowan, you know. So, we're north of Grand Rapids, Michigan, about 30 minutes, all depending on where you start from.
Very good. And I'm sure a beautiful part of the country. Tell us a little bit about the history of Camp Concordia, and we'll talk about Okoboji here too as well. Tell us about the history of Camp Concordia there.
Camp Concordia was one of the a lot of camps started after World War II, and it was just another one of those stories. A group of men got together, primarily men, and they by 1957 they had picked out a 65-acre lot. They established in the early 60s established a few buildings on it, and then cabins, and then a large lodge, and it sits, you know, they picked a site that sits on a chain of lakes, and at an absolutely incredible site. That was the heydays of camp ministry for a lot of Lutheran camps. And so it's lived its life, though, kind of quietly. It's the history went like this. It boomed in the 60s and 70s, and then it kind of lulled in the 80s and 90s. And in the 2000s, it's getting a bit of a rebirth. And so that's now when I get to come along in the 2010s. So it's been around. Actually, if you want to hear, have just a little bit of trivia here. We were birthed in 1957. We are now, this year, 57 years old, and if you look on the map, we are north of Highway 57. There you go.
Very good. Well, walk us around camp. Show us around. Tell us what would we find around Camp Concordia?
Okay, and I should mention it was Lutheran Layman's League that men that got this going. What we would do is we'd drive in the front gate, and you'd drive down a meandering road, which took you to, and it's all, you have to think of sand, because we're very much a water-oriented camp. So you're winding down this road, you come to one small cottage where there's a parking lot, and then kind of tucked away behind that cottage, all of a sudden, boom, opens up the big lodge area. So we have a lodge built in the 60s, still is not insulated. We're a seasonal camp. And it seats about 200 people, and then the lake is on the east side, and you look out from the lodge over the lake, and then on the west side is a circle of cabins, of nine cabins. And they're bunkhouse-style cabins. We're really not, a lot of adults use us, but we're mostly a children's and youth camp facility. And so then that's what we call our base camp area that I just described. Now if you go north and you're walking along the lake, you come to 38 RV or campground sites. They have all their electric, and some have sewer and all that kind of a thing. And so we have groups that come here for their family camping events, and all kinds of folks from all over the country, primarily from Michigan, but all over the country, for some of the campground options too. A lot of fishing here. People think of Camp Concordia on Half Mile Lake as a fishing destination, even sometimes more than a ministry destination. So, and then beyond that, there's what we call the North 40, which really isn't a North 40, but it's about a North 20, and that's all wooded area, and that's good for our outdoor education and environmental education programs with the schools.
Well, very good. And Doug, tell us about Camp Okoboji in Milford, Iowa.
Camp Okoboji was actually started after World War I. The YWCA purchased this property in the late teens and early 20s and developed it. It's 30 acres of property on a peninsula on West Lake Okoboji in northwest Iowa. And the Walter League met here for a convention. And during the 30s, the YWCA was no longer utilizing the camp to its fullest potential, and so they decided that they would like to sell it. And the Walter League got wind of that and offered them a very good price, and the YWCA sold it to the Walter League in 1939. And it became Camp Okoboji because of the Okoboji area. And so there are 50 buildings, over 50 buildings on the site, and we are a year-round facility. And next year, we're celebrating our 75th anniversary of outdoor ministry.
Very good. Well, congratulations on that a little early. But tell us about, as you walk around the camp, what do you see as you're walking around Camp Okoboji?
When you come into our drive from the north, you come up the main road, and then we have a circle drive that we call Jonah Circle because it's kind of shaped like a fish. And as you drive around that circle, you'll see our building where we do all of our craft projects during the summer. And then we have what we call dormitory-style cabins. We have about 13 dormitory-style. They're summer use only. And we have a large two-story lodge called the Bethel Retreat Center that houses 92 people and is a year-round facility. And then as you come around the far end of the camp, we have what we call family ministry cabins, and people of Iowa West and beyond can come in and stay in those cabins for a week at a time or a few days. And they're fully furnished, and they're on the lakefront. We have about 5/8 of a mile of waterfront here at the camp. And as you come around that and on the lakefront, you have those family ministry cabins as well as another two-story lodge for families and large groups. And we have, then as you come back around the tail of the fish and the drive, there's a playground and recreation area as well as basketball courts. And then you take another sharp right and go southwest, and you go out to what is geographically Breezy Point. And we have our outdoor worship area there, our beach cabin. And then as you come back towards the entry of the camp, we have our Ginny DeWall Dining Hall and the Christian Life Center, which are now year-round facilities as well.
Well, lots of facilities, a pretty big place. What are some of the activities and opportunities throughout the year at Camp Okoboji?
We are open year-round, and we have events for kindergarten-age children on up. We have children's, youth, and adult family camps. We have a special needs camp for in the summertime. We have 2 3-day events for people with special needs. And we also have family retreats. We have 3 family retreats here during the summer and opportunities for families to gather for reunions as well.
And let's talk about Camp Concordia, some of the events throughout the year there as well. Craig, tell us what types of things go on at Camp Concordia. I know it's mostly a seasonal camp.
Right. So if you think summer camp, summer camp, summer camp, and then and within that there's the youth camps and the family camps. And then there's also, into the fall, we can also do group retreats. We do quite a few of those. And if you think of summer camp, we're kind of reshaping Camp Concordia. Camp Concordia is a camp, as I kind of indicated earlier, that has flown under the radar and it's been a bit underutilized. So we're reshaping it from based on our background from with camp ministry across the United States, my wife and myself. And so our summer program's a whole new program for next summer. We're doing everything. I mean, obviously it's focused on Christ. We're teaching who Jesus is. We're exploring how he works in our life. And in the midst of that, we're out canoeing. We're out doing all the swimming, et cetera, the archery, the challenge course, all of that. But it's going to be shaped in things like this. We're going to have a week called Sky where we're going to do everything in the air that we possibly can, including launch rockets. We're going to do a week called Water where we're going to add a lot of water activity, a lot of as much as I can all the way up to inner tubing behind a speedboat. We're going to have weeks like, we're going to have traditional camp where it's just you know, a lot of archery, a lot of cooking out and hot dogs and that kind of thing. You know, so that's for the kids. And then for the family camps, we have a history here of large gatherings that do go on all the holidays. So we've got the Memorial Day weekend, the 4th of July day weekend, or the 4th of July weekend, and then the Labor Day weekend. And those are big family events, and we're expanding on those and adding speakers and all of that kind of a thing. And then we have the group retreats as well.
So you have a lot of activities during the summer, and then some activities, as you said, retreats. I guess kind of tag the ends of the seasons as well there.
Correct, correct. Yeah, the fall is beautiful. It's a great time here. And then boom, winter hits, and we have to make sure we're sealed up because we lack insulation in key parts. And for those, you know, for anybody that knows plumbing, they know why. And that'll change. That's going to change for Camp Concordia in the future. But right now, if you think of a historical seasonal camp, we're it.
Craig, share with us a story of maybe a camper or a staffer that has really that's been affected by camp in a positive way.
Yeah. You know, I have 2 stories. I have a lot of stories, but I have 2 that I wrote down. And one was actually, this was out in Colorado when I ran Lutheran Valley Retreat out in Colorado for about a decade. And I remember this dad coming to a weekend event where it was just a father and a son. It wasn't father-son weekend, but it was one parent with one child. And he came, and it was one of those where, you know, I'm a busy dad, why am I here? And as he was leaving, him turning to me and saying, this, you know, it was a kindergartner that he brought, okay? And you think, a little boy, a little kindergarten boy, but that dad turned to me and said, this has changed our relationship. We're talking differently now. I'm thinking kindergarten, you know? And I'm like, that's one of the stories we want to hear. And the second story is a little bit like it. I finally connected with a mom who had been back and forth on allowing her teenage daughter to come back to camp. And they decided to have her come because I was the new director, and they're like, okay, we'll give this guy a try. And what happened was I went back to that mom. I said, okay, so how did it go? And she said, you know what, Craig, here's the difference. In the past, my daughter would come home and she would talk about all the activities she did. This year she came home and she was talking about faith issues. I mean, the activities were still there, but it was like something has changed in my faith, and for the better. And that's the kind of story I want to hear. And those are the ones I love through the years. And I'm sure all the camp directors have heard those kinds of stories. And that's what gives me my motivation and gives me the impetus to drive and work hard behind this kind of a ministry.
Sure, sure. Doug, tell us about the experiences that you've encountered at camp and some of the campers, the staffers that you've encountered with Camp Okoboji.
It's been an enjoyable time here to serve as executive director because you run into people who have just a special heart for outdoor ministry and have experienced outdoor ministry in their own lives. And one of the individuals that I had contact with a couple of years ago had sent me a note along with a Christmas gift to the camp. And she remembered from the time that her father attended meetings at the camp, the annual meetings, to their family coming for mini vacations and her own children attending our Concordia Cub Camp, which is for 4th, 5th, and 6th graders. And now her grandchildren are coming to that same Cub Camp that continues to happen each year. And so there's a long history of outdoor ministry in their particular family. And then this summer, there was a thank you in a church letter that was shared to me from children who had been supported by their congregation in their attendance at camp. And they said they had learned new songs, they did crafts that were very enjoyable, and they can't wait to come again next year.
And speaking of next year, what are we looking forward to in 2015 at Camp Okoboji? What does the year look like ahead, and what should we be planning for if families want to include a trip to Camp Okoboji, whether it's as a family or the kids coming up for some time at camp? What can we look forward to in the coming year?
Well, we're looking towards some exciting things as far as our registration. For the first year, we're going to be able to do all of our registrations online beginning the 1st of January. And so they'll be able to go to our website, which is www.campokoboji.org, and they'll be able to see all of the events that are available, the dates, the fees, and to be able to register online. And we're letting parents and grandparents know that if they need an idea for a gift for their children for a birthday or Christmas, they can always send them to camp. And we have military children can come free to any camp event. And we also have two opportunities for military families to attend a family-style retreat. And it's all funded by an organization called Operation Barnabas.
Very good. Now, for our listeners not familiar with Camp Okoboji, and we want to point them to the website, we'll provide a link to the website, but for those who are listening, can you spell Okoboji for us? Because I'm not sure everybody's going to know how to spell it.
I understand. I get that question quite often. And it's O-K-O-B-O-J-I. The kind of the unique thing, this is the Okoboji area, and we're on Westlake Okoboji. And people always ask what it means, and they think it's an Indian name, but there really is no clear definition of the meaning of that word. So it's kind of interesting.
Very good. So folks can find out more at campokoboji.org. Let's talk about Camp Concordia and what's coming in the 2015. Now, Craig, you've already mentioned some of the things, the special weeks that are coming up in 2015. What do you want us to know in planning for, as families plan for the 2015 year?
Okay, if you're going to come, if you're going to do a family camp with bring your RV or bring your tent or bring your whatever, sign up early because those are the ones that fill up. If you're going to do a children's camp, we're growing there. We have a lot of room. We we'll be starting to hire staff for that. Doug, guess what? We're also going to be having our online registration, and it's going to be so much easier than it's been in the past on our end. We switched to a thing called Ultra Camp, and it's been wonderful. So if you go on our site, which happens to be campconcordia.org, .com, or .net, I mean, you can just make mistakes and find us, you know. If you go there and you click on, you can see where we're headed with our registration process. But everything says we're hoping to start by the middle of December to register families and kids for camp. And so those are some highlights. But other than that, it's really, you know, there's nothing like a good staff. And I know Doug can say this too. If we don't have the college students being encouraged by their grandparents and their parents to come walk along in these ministries, we don't do the job we need to do. So if there's one thing I want everybody to know is encourage those kids, encourage those college students. I had a pastor who came to me one time and he said the hole missing in my ministry is my work with college age students. And Craig, what I'm going to do is I'm going to push them all your way because I know this. If I have a college-age student do a summer at camp with you, I know that they'll be back in my church that next fall. And that was a testimony to the power and the strength of what happens for college students at camp.
What are the types of things that college students do when they serve as a summer staff at a camp like Camp Concordia or Camp Okoboji? What are some of the things they do? I've been on a camp staff, but I'm going to let you all explain that.
Yeah, besides the traditional counselor role, which is a lot different than it used to be, by the way. It's much, much more hands-on, at least at Camp Concordia or the camps I've been involved with. It's a very strong ministry role, but you've also got waterfront people. You've got kitchen people. You've got maintenance people, all kinds of things. Or if you come here as a counselor, you're also going to have at least a week of doing one of those things too, where you're helping out with maintenance. You're a person who helps with skits, helps with writing Bible studies, helps to rebuild challenge course elements, just all kinds of things. But the key is that you actually get to sit down and what I call share your faith story. And that doesn't mean a big, long, aggressive testimony like some of us have maybe attributed to faith stories, but it just means that God has worked in our life, God has changed us, and He's made us ready and present for this moment here at camp, and He's alive and active in us through His Holy Spirit. So we need to take advantage of that, and the students need to be able to share their stories and share how God has worked in their life. It's big. It's very big.
Doug, will Camp Okoboji be looking for college students to help staff the camp this summer as well, with just about a minute left?
Yes, certainly. And I agree with everything that Craig said about the importance of summer staff. And they definitely are the face of outdoor ministry in their respective sites. And people relate to those people and remember the experiences that they give them during their stays at camp. In addition to the activities that Craig mentioned, we also have college students that go out to churches and communities and do vacation Bible school programs. Mm-hmm. And we have about 12 or 13 sites each year that they travel to and take outdoor ministry to those communities. And one of the things I always tell my college students when I do an exit interview with them at the end of the year, I say, this is really a training ground for you. And someday you're going to make some man or some woman a good husband or a good wife or a good husband, because you learned a lot of skills and abilities and relational things during your time here at Camp Okoboji.
That is so true. And that would be where I met my wife, Camp Luther Haven in Albion, Indiana. Met my wife there. And you learn a lot about people, especially in those settings where it's so hot and humid during the summer and you look your best, right? Well, gentlemen, I want to make sure that our listeners know how to get in touch with you. You mentioned the websites earlier, Camp Okoboji, and that's campokoboji.org. Is that right?
That is correct.
And campconcordia.com.org.net. Any of those will get you there. Folks, you can go check it out and find out what's going on this summer. Maybe look into making that a Christmas present for kids for next year. Grandmas and grandpas or moms and dads, you could do that. Make it a Christmas present this year for next summer. That's a good idea as well. Well, gentlemen, thanks so much for being my guest today. Doug Kading, the executive director at Camp Okoboji in Milford, Iowa. Thanks so much for being my guest today on Faith and Family.
Thank you, Andy, and God's blessings to you. And God's blessings to you too, Craig. Have a great winter and a blessed summer.
Thank you, Doug.
Dr. Craig Oldenburg, director of Camp Concordia in Gowan, Michigan. Thanks so much for being my guest today on Faith and Family.
Thank you very much, Andy. It's been a real pleasure. I can't wait to see what kind of response comes from this. Thank you.
Thank you. Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word. Going to study God's Word this morning, as we do every day, right here on listener-supported worldwide KFUO, celebrating 90 years of proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.